Welcome to the Stop Over Drinking and Start Living podcast, where high-achieving, goal-oriented rebel women come to learn how to live a vibrant and fulfilling life without requiring alcohol to get through it. No labels, no judgments, no saying you'll never drink again, just real proven methods to help you stop rebelling against yourself with alcohol so you can drink less and do more. I'm your host, Angela Masenik. Let's dig in. Welcome to episode 276. Do I have a problem? Hey, 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 welcome back to the podcast. Oh my gosh. So last week was a hot topic. I was talking about navigating skepticism and what to do when the people that love you are questioning you and your desires to cut back. And it was a really good episode. If you haven't listened to that, please go listen to that one too. It doesn't matter if you listen to that one first or this one. But today I want to dive a little bit deeper into that and talk about, how do I know if I have a problem with overdrinking? So you might have these questions. Do I have a problem? And often our culture, our society, our family, our friends, our colleagues, the people in our orb might question our desire to cut back. They might tell us, we might come to them and say, I'm drinking too much. I don't like how much I'm drinking. I want to cut back. And then they kind of like gaslight us. You don't have a problem. What are you talking about? You're not an alcoholic, right? And they don't mean any harm. I just want to put that out there. They're not trying to be hurtful, but it's not helpful. And it often causes us to question our intentions around cutting back, right? It's hard enough to cut back on our own, right? Even if we have all the support and all the things. But when other people are questioning us, you know, I had a client tell me that somebody in their orb said, you always make it seem worse than it actually is, or you're always out trying to find the problem with it. And, you know, that's not very helpful because we know what isn't working for us. You know, so backing up to the question, you know if you're over drinking, right? And that's the determining factor. If you feel like it's a problem, then it's a problem. Even if it's only one glass of wine every night, if that's really hard for you not to do, and it frustrates you that you can't go several days without it, or you feel like you need it, then it's a problem and you should get help with that. And most of the people that are listening to this podcast, who come into my world, who I'm coaching, who come to my retreats, join my programs, don't look like what you would imagine somebody with an alcohol problem to look like. They're very presentable. They have jobs. They manage their households. They have families. They have relationships. They're out there doing things, right? And they're not crashing their cars. They're not able to go to work in the morning. Maybe that would happen. Like maybe they would miss a day of work very rarely. I mean, maybe once a year, right? Like it would be have to be a big deal. They're not really like, it's not really affecting their relationships, or so they think, right? Like the worst case is they might just be drinking wine in front of the TV at night and they fall asleep every night doing that, right? And they wake up in the middle of the night feeling like shit. They feel shitty in the morning. They have a lot of shame and regret and frustration around the issue. But this is all like an internal struggle for them. Their outside world, like what you would see them in their regular everyday life, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, you have a drinking problem, right? Now I know that there's outliers here and I have helped those people too. But most of the time, the women that I support most, you would like if you were just engaging with them at work or at the mall or out to eat, you probably wouldn't be able to tell that they have a drinking problem. And so when they share that they want to cut back or they're doing a 30-day challenge of not drinking or they're in a program to help them cut back, often people say these things to them like, what? You don't have a problem. You're not an alcoholic. You can, you know, you don't overdrink. This isn't an issue. Like, why are you making this an issue? And I just want you to know that you have to remember that you have identified that you are overdrinking too much for you. And so when people say this to you, I just want to help give you some background that they're used to seeing people, or like in their minds, and I talked about this in the podcast last week, in their minds, they picture somebody who's not functioning, whose drinking is way on the other end of the spectrum, where they, you know, it's affecting their relationships, it's affecting their health, it's affecting their job. They're not able to get up and do the things that they would normally do, right? Like it's very obvious that they have a drinking problem. And most of the women that I help, it's not very obvious, you know? So I just want you to keep that in mind, that when people say that to us, it makes us question our own desires to cut back. And if that happens to you, the most important thing to notice is, I know that this isn't good for me. I don't like what this is doing to my life. And as long as you keep that very clear and you don't let other people's opinions muddy what you think, you'll be okay. Okay. And if you need to have a deeper conversation with those people, I invite you to do that. You know, sometimes, and I experienced this with my own husband, you know, when I first started my journey to stop over drinking, and I had a birthday party at a wine bar, and he was like, "You're going to invite all these people to a wine bar and not drink?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he questioned it, right? And he questioned our lifestyle and, you know, what that would look like going forward and stuff. And all of that is normal because they're so used to doing these things together. And so if they don't get on board, if they don't start, you know, blatantly supporting you, and they keep kind of saying these little things like that, I think it's worth having a deeper conversation about, you know, I don't look like somebody who might have a drinking problem, and I could keep going like this. The truth is, a lot of people could just keep going with what they're doing with alcohol, and, you know, they might just make it through, right? But you have decided that it's not good for you, and you really want to change some things, that you don't like the way you feel, you don't like the way you sleep, you don't like what it does to your mind and how it triggers more anxiety, and you start questioning yourself, and you don't like the frustration you feel when you don't stick to your plan. Like, you have to be willing to understand why you don't like it yourself and be very clear on that. So this would be a good time to go write out all the reasons why you want to cut back. What impact does that have on you, on your productivity in the day? What do you think about yourself? Does it poke holes in your self-confidence? Are you constantly frustrated that you're not following through on it? Does it increase your anxiety? Does it make you worry more about things? You know, does it disconnect you from your family and friends? You want to get really clear on all of the things that it's doing in your life. Okay. That's really the first step that you want to do. And then it's going to be easier to recognize, yeah, this is affecting me, right? Do I have a problem? Yeah, this doesn't feel good. This relationship with alcohol that I have right now doesn't feel good on a regular basis. So you want to answer that and that question for yourself, okay? And then when other people come in and question you and say, "I don't see this," you'd be like, "Yeah, you might not see it because it doesn't look like what you might imagine somebody with a drinking problem would look like, but this is how it affects me and I don't like it and I'm sick and tired of feeling this way, so I'm going to do something about it." You know, you don't have to be defensive, but I think it helps navigate those situations when you are very clear in your own self how it is affecting you. And that takes being willing to tell yourself the truth, right? Telling yourself the whole picture. And sometimes you need support in helping you dive into it and dissect it a little bit. Putting your pen to paper, writing out your thoughts about it, documenting what it's like after you have drinks, even if it's just one. How did you sleep that night? What are you feeling like the next day? What is your mind doing? Is it amplified your anxiety? You have to be willing to look at the whole picture. And if you want to change anything, if you're not willing to look at the whole picture, you probably won't get very far. It'll be a frustrating journey for you. So it takes telling yourself the truth, right? Putting pen to paper, answering these questions, evaluating every time you have a drink on what that experience was like, and then deciding, making small changes going forward. You don't have to have an outward problem to get help. So I also shared this on my social media because of these conversations that are coming up now. The day I decided to quit drinking was a day that I had one glass of wine. Would you classify that as a problem? Probably not. Did I overdrink and was it a problem for a long time? Yes. I applied the same tools that I teach you all here in the podcast and in my programs, and I took a really long break from alcohol. I didn't have any. And then I decided to be mindful about it and start planning it and bringing it back in. And the day I decided to quit wasn't after some big crazy overdrink or a hangover. It was when I followed my plan. That's what I shared on the socials. I decided to quit drinking after I stuck to my plan of one glass of wine. And the reason I decided to stop drinking after that one glass of wine that I had chosen mindfully was because I didn't like the way it made me feel. I noticed, and because I was so aware at that point, and I had done the deeper work to understand myself and learn how to connect with myself and feel my feelings and understand my thoughts and the impact that alcohol had on my life, I had one glass of wine out to dinner with my family, and I immediately felt that disconnection. I felt like there was a veil that became that kind of like I put over my face. And there was a wall between my family and what I was experiencing and myself. I felt like there was a barrier to the connection that I was having with them out to dinner on one glass of wine. And so I immediately recognized, I don't like this. I don't like feeling this way. And thinking about the alcohol, it was like throwing gas on the fire. And so as I was walking out to our minivan after dinner with my husband and my kids, I casually said to my husband, you know, I think I'm done with this. And that was it. We're going on 6 years, friends. So it doesn't have to look like a big blown out problem for you to decide that alcohol isn't good for you anymore or that you want to really work on cutting back. Okay. So I want to just kind of poke holes in all of these stereotypes that we have around this. You sometimes can convince yourself that you don't have a problem if you get up and go to work and you take care of all the things and blah, 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 blah. Surely I could have one glass of wine at the end of the day. None of these other things are being effective. Yes, you can if that's what you want and it's not causing any problems for you. And I would tell myself those same things as I was questioning my relationship with alcohol and working on cutting back. There are many times I failed before that. You know, I was really, really trying before I found Life Coaching and joined a paid program and really dug into this. I was trying to do it on my own and not drink during the work week. And it was very, very difficult because I was resisting those urges and I was fighting with myself and battling with myself. And all of these mixed messages were coming in because I was still classifying somebody that had a drinking problem as somebody way over on the other side of the spectrum. I was successful. I had a full-time job. I was managing my household. You know, nothing was happening with my kids because of my drinking. I had friendships, all of that, right? And it was really hard for me not to. And I would come in and I would tell myself, I'm a successful person. This is not affecting me. I deserve to have a couple glasses of wine at the end of the day. Everybody does it. And then I would drink. And so those messages kind of screwed with my thinking around it. And I believed some of those messages of if I really have a problem, it would look like this, right? And I just want you to know that you can have a problem and you can have everything looks great in your life. And most of the time it is. And if it's really hard for you not to drink, it's still a problem. Okay. Or if it makes you feel in any way bad, even if it's just one drink and you don't like the way you are, or you're drinking in a way that isn't really what you want. So maybe you're people pleasing. Maybe you feel like you have to drink around your friends, right, to still be fun. Or you're around family members who drink a lot and they enjoy doing that with you and you're only drinking to appease other people, but you don't really want to be doing that, right? That is something you want to explore. So I just want to poke holes in this idea that what you have to look like to identify as somebody that has a problem with alcohol. And you may not want to call it a problem. You just may want to call it, you know, I don't like my relationship with alcohol. I don't like that it's hard for me to not have one glass of wine. Whatever you want to do, whatever language you want to use around it is fine, but I think you need to tell yourself the truth. Does this feel good for me right now? How come? Does it affect my sleep? Does it affect my energy? Does it create crazy anxious thoughts? Do I doubt myself? Am I frustrated about it the next day? You want to highlight all of that for yourself out of your head and on paper, ideally, or in a notes app or dictation or something. Like, you need to get it out of your head and be able to look at it somehow. And then you want to read that back to yourself in some way so that your brain sees it outside of your head and can digest that information easier. That's why we have to not just think about this stuff. We have to extract it from our heads and be able to read it and reflect it back to us. That's why coaching is so helpful, or having a therapist or a trusted advisor, somebody that you can share with that can reflect back to you what they see as a problem or the obstacle. Then your brain has a way different way of looking at it and digesting the problem and coming up with solutions. If you keep it all in your head and you're trying to work through it that way, you don't have that reflection period and becomes way less powerful, and you won't get very far in your goals. You'll just kind of keep navigating it, keep thinking about it, right? But you're not actually doing anything with it. When you look at it and you can reflect on it outside of your head, you can have a much bigger impact on what you want to do with your goals going forward. So get it out of your head. Tell yourself the truth. Be really clear about it if it's a problem for you. And then if somebody else says something to you or questions that, you will then be able to clearly say, I don't like the way this makes me feel. And I don't like doing things that don't make me feel good anymore. And it can be very as simple as that. And you get to decide if you want to work on it or if you don't. And either way, you know, I'm here to help you. This podcast is here to help you. There's lots of resources that you can find. If you don't resonate with me, obviously there's AA and all sorts of other things that, you know, people have found very helpful. The most important thing is that if you've been struggling and you've been trying to do this on your own, you should get some help. You know, if you've been actively trying to cut back for a year or more, I would say you probably need some help. And there's nothing wrong with you for that. There really isn't. We're humans and we're very flawed. And when you're so close to an issue like over drinking and it gets very complicated, especially because of all the marketing and messaging and culture and everything that's tied up into it and our feelings, we often need help navigating this. And the people that ask for help have more success in solving it than the people that try to do it on their own. It's just proven. So I want you to consider joining one of my programs, coming on one of my amazing retreats. I just wrapped the North Carolina retreat last week. Unbelievable. I will absolutely be doing that retreat again in the spring in North Carolina next year. If you want to make sure you get that ticket, let me know. I could put a deposit down for you, but I'm hosting another one in Seattle at the end of July. It's going to be as amazing and awesome. That one does include a bigger hike, so make sure you start training for that now. I do have two spots left for that, one private room and one shared room. Both are amazing opportunities with the best women ever. And then I have my Cancun Sober Retreat in December. And then I'm also scheming up something for this fall in local North Carolina. So stay tuned for that. But you can also hire me for private coaching, one-on-one coaching, just me and you. And right now, if you listen to this podcast in time, next week, I'm doing a very mini program called Say Yes to Drinking Less. It's a $33 investment. You get 3 days of coaching with me, a mini course with videos and worksheets, and then you can have access to all of the recorded coaching calls and the course and the resources for 3 months. And it's $33. So $33, 3 days of coaching, access for 3 months. It's an absolute no-brainer. We will put the link here in the podcast for you to sign up for that. And that starts next week. All right, my friends, I believe in you. And if you've identified that you have a problem, just get some help. You deserve it. You deserve to move past this so you can get on to bigger and better things and be living that alive AF life that you know you can and want to. All right. I love you all so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. I want you to check out angelamasenik.com/alive AF. You know what it's like to have a desire to cut back on your drinking, right? You start to read books, listen to podcasts, try things, but you might not be able to yet put all the pieces and suggestions together in a way that actually makes sense and works for you. You might struggle with beating yourself up after an overdrink. You might get frustrated with yourself when you take two steps forward and then another two steps back, and get overwhelmed with what's right and wrong about your relationship with alcohol. Your friends tell you that you should be able to have just one drink, and it isn't a big deal. You might be white-knuckling through urges and resisting instead of peacefully processing them. And you might struggle with your identity as someone who has enjoyed having a lot of wine or alcohol in your life. It's around you all the time. It's what you do and who you are. Well, after 5 years of successfully coaching hundreds of women through these struggles, I have created the Alive AF membership, where women like you can learn the basics on what it takes to cut back and reach your goals with alcohol, whether it is to just drink less or totally quit. And when you join, you will get the exact framework I used to change my own relationship with alcohol and still use today that has led me to be alcohol-free for over 5 years. You're going to get access to my resources, videos, and worksheets that have been proven to change and reduce how much you drink. Every day you can ask questions, share your obstacles, and get coaching and direct support on the challenges you will face with love and no judgment. Also, you will get immediate access to workshops like uncovering your alcohol identity and changing it, how to say no to things that don't support your new identity or life or goals, aka boundaries, a workshop called Creating Emotional Agency, and another one, How to Manage Your Mind to Succeed at Your Goals, and more. Every month we have a brand new workshop. These workshops are filled with step-by-step prompts and instruction to help you create the exact relationship with alcohol that is best for you. My mission and vision for Alive AF is to be a hub of support and resources for women to come and learn how to do what is best for them and becoming more alive in the process. When you join, you're going to learn how to take care of yourself better, how to feel good and become more alive and go after the life that you really want. I want this membership to be affordable and an easy solution where you can get all the help you need in one simple place whenever you need it. So, no need to go read another book, find a new podcast, attend a free webinar, or go down the path of piecemealing it all together. Join Alive AF and have it all there in one place for you anytime you need it. So, go to angelamasenik.com/AliveAF and enrollment is open right now. See you inside.